Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time for me and Keyshawn Johnson to decide if LeBron's Lakers, with the 11th best odds to win the West, can and will get to the NBA Finals, even if they run into the defending champ Nuggets, their nemesis in the first round. The Lakers did win Friday night in Memphis, barely, then yesterday in New Orleans, dominantly, and now as the eighth seed, they're staying in New Orleans for another game against the Pelicans. This one, a 7-8 play-in game. Win and the Lakers get the Nuggets in the first round. Yep, the same Nuggets who swept them in last year's conference finals and who have won eight straight against the Lakers. Anthony Davis did suffer some back spasms late in yesterday's game, but he and Darvin Ham say he should be fine for Tuesday night, which is mostly why the Lakers are favored by 1 point. If they lose, they'll get a second chance in L.A. against the winner of Golden State at Sacramento. The 9-10 game played right after the Lakers' 7:30 Eastern game on TNT tomorrow night. Now that we got all that straight, good morning, Keyshawn.
Morning, Skip.
How are you, sir?
Good.
And happy playoffs to you and your Lakers.
Happy play-in.
So, after what you saw on Friday night and what you saw yesterday, scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like your Lakers' chances of winning the West?
I would say a 7, and it increases as they continue to go.
Okay.
When you look at yesterday, I go to yesterday because Friday was several days. And, look, the Memphis game, Memphis came out to play. I think the Lakers may have taken it a little lightly, thinking that they were just going to lay down.
You mean the Memphis G League team that played on Friday night?
Yes, that team.
Yeah.
The Lakers probably took them a little lightly, but they got out of there with a W, and that's all that really matters.
Yep.
Now, yesterday, they played like they were supposed to play. Although Anthony Davis left the game was in full control. When he hurt his back, we were in control. We never surrendered the lead. It was always, we were just rolling. I mean, we're knocking down shots left to right. We were defending. We were playing. LeBron on Zion, neutralizing him in that situation.
He did.
I just want to get to the Denver Nuggets.
You said it.
I've said it for a couple weeks
you
now.
You wanted them early, not later.
You want them early and not late. Because if you look at it and you go back a couple weeks, Skip, the Lakers have been playing pretty good basketball. They went on a road trip. They went 5-1 on that road trip, losing the lone game that they lost was Indy.
Yep.
Okay, then they came home, and they kind of sort of took care of business at home. And then we went back on the road, and we took care of business on the road. Now, we're staying on the road in New Orleans. There is no travel, so there's an extra day of care, so to speak, that you could give Anthony Davis to the spasms in his back. Whatever they might do, whether it's massage or ultrasound or shock treatment, whatever it is that he needs the rest, he doesn't have to get on a plane. So he'll be in a hotel room getting the necessary 24-hour care that he needs. Now you take care of the Pelicans, and now Denver drops in your lap. And you sit there, and everybody, I'm just listening to, as they like to call it, the pundits out there in the world.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a Laker-LeBron hate. Like, they want the Lakers to run from the Denver Nuggets. You should drop down to the 8th seed, so maybe you get the OKC instead. They're not manipulating it like that. You mess around and you lose. Messing around, talking about, well, we want to avoid Denver. No, we're fresh. This is not the Western Conference final of a year ago. Even LeBron James in his post game yesterday, because I typically don't listen to post game. Game's over, I turn and move on to something else. But for some reason, I was waiting around for the Dodger game to come on, so I was listening to LeBron in the post game. And he talked about feeling a lot better this time body-wise.
He did. He made that statement. He volunteered.
Yes.
I feel better than I did a year ago right now.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I heard that, first thing I did, my ears just shot up. Said, okay, see, this is what I'm talking about, Skip.
Okay.
Getting to Denver is the most important thing, not avoiding Denver. Mm-hmm. I understand that they beat us 8 consecutive times. And that's cool. But they didn't beat us 8 consecutive 7-game series. They beat us in one-offs. Yeah. Now let's see if we can play better than we did the last 6 or so minutes of the games in last year's Western Conference Final against Denver. I like our chances, though. We get past Denver. Then we get past Denver. Now you got them Suns or the Minnesotas, the Clippers, the Mavs, and even the Thunder. Denver is supposed to be our nemesis. If we get past them, you can cash our check. We're going to the finals.
Really?
Okay. Absolutely.
That's it. Done deal. So you're saying
if we get past Denver,
the conference finals would effectively come first.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That is correct.
Because then you'd get the winner of Dallas and the Clippers. Mavericks have been the hottest team in the NBA. You sure about that one?
I think the Clippers will beat the Mavs.
Okay.
For whatever reason, this season, we own the Clippers. This season. And I don't think we will be, you know, because you got to think, we're going to have, well, they'll have home court advantage because they got the better seed if we see the Clippers, right, in a 7-game series. But guess what, Skip?
Okay.
It's really not their home. It'll be our home.
Yep.
Even in the home games for them, it'll be Laker fans, okay?
Agreed.
It'll be Laker fans.
And by the way, yesterday in New Orleans, it looked like a Laker home game to me because all the seats I could see down close, at least half, we're Laker fans. I never see anything like it, and I'm going to assume Tuesday night will be even more pro-Lakers because this one really counts.
Star power brings a lot of that out.
So I want to point out that Keyshawn Johnson, lifelong Laker fan growing up out here in Los Angeles, just said that Denver will then drop in your lap. That's how you put that, drop in your lap.
Yeah. We're not running from them.
Okay, if the Nuggets are watching, we're going to drop in your lap. Not that you're not going to drop in our lap because they've won 8 straight games against you.
Okay.
You good with that?
Those games are in the regular season or you count regular season, you count into the Western Conference.
All.
Yeah, the Western Conference Final was a year ago, Skip. LeBron James, out of his own mouth, as you just said he's a whole lot better than he was point a year ago.
Okay.
You got to take the man for his word. You can't just say, well, that's just what he's saying to be saying it.
Okay.
You don't think Mike Malone has listened to that and was like, oh, okay, I'm your daddy. Okay.
That's what he said.
Okay.
He said that.
And you don't think LeBron remembers that?
They better remember that, but they didn't remember it during the regular season this year because they wreaked no revenge. And the last time they played on March the 2nd out here in Los Angeles, it was same song, 8th verse, because I saw it happen again. Lakers are up 2 points with 4 minutes left, and Denver goes on a crazy run. What was it down the stretch? They won by 10 points, so they just blew them off the floor over the last 4 minutes. It happened again. It happens every time I watch these two teams play. Nobody for the Lakers can close. LeBron, name somebody. Austin Reeves, AD, nobody can close. All right. I want to speak on what I saw yesterday at New Orleans because New Orleans was coming off a huge win at Golden State on Friday night that put them in position to knock off the Lakers and move up another seed, move out of the play-in. Keyshawn, I know you watched yesterday. Your team looked like the best team I've seen all year yesterday. In that one game, in that one building against that team, you annihilated the New Orleans Pelicans, who of late have played high-level quality basketball. It was a mismatch. You dominated the way I haven't seen many teams dominate all year, including the Celtics. And this was a game that really mattered, obviously, to both teams. What I saw was LeBron James said, okay, watch this. Because to your point, he came out and took Zion. And LeBron's much taller than Zion. He's at least 3, maybe 4 inches taller. Yeah. Zion's like 6'5"-ish, 6'6"-ish, maybe. I might give him 6'6", maybe. But obviously, LeBron doesn't weigh as much. But LeBron is as strong as Zion is, the baby bull.
It doesn't look like he weighs
as
much.
No, it doesn't. But the point was, he took Zion completely out of the game. And he didn't have him every trip down the floor. And he had some help. But Keyshawn, He held Zion, who usually makes like 70% of his shots, to 4 of 13. Are you kidding me? To 12 points? And AD came out and annihilated Valanciunas so badly that very quickly Willie Green just said, I've seen enough of that. He only played, what,
seven minutes,
and said, I'm going to go small ball and see if you guys can compete with my small ball. And yes, they could. So what am I seeing from your team? I'm seeing a team that can flip the switch, to me, in ways no other team can flip that switch. And we saw it one other time this year, and it was at the silly little in-season tournament. You want to raise the banner, you're okay with raising the banner, and that's fine, that's cool. But you saw what they did when LeBron said, let's flip the switch. They just went out and slaughtered everybody, including Indiana. They suffocated defensively in the quote-unquote championship game of the first ever in-season tournament. And LeBron, another little feather in his quote-unquote goat cap, he won the first one.
Yes.
And to me, I saw that same team yesterday because I saw AD go 13 of 17 from the floor. I saw him go 30 points and 11 rebounds, and he didn't play, as we know, the last six or so minutes.
Yeah.
So what was your level of shock or concern when all of a sudden he goes down on the floor and can't get up with back?
Well, I try to figure out when he hurt his back because the pick and he rolled out of that, it was
No.
He didn't step wrong or anything.
And I saw little to no contact on the pick.
No, none. He touched him on the back. So yeah. As time went on and I started thinking and looking and then they showed a replay.
They did.
During the post game, James Worthy and D. Fish showed and I don't know who it was, but somebody pushed him in the back a little bit.
It's Larry Nance Jr.
So I thought, maybe he came down kind of awkward right there, but he falls awkward anyway all the time. So maybe that was it where he initially hurt it because he didn't sprint back on defense. Yeah. He kind of, you know, took his time to get back on defense. So maybe that's when he hurt it. The first thing I thought of was, damn, here we go again with this dude. That was really all I could say. I'm sure most people.
How many times have you said that on this show?
A lot.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Most people that was watching the game that are Laker fans, or even not Laker fans, just watching the game is sitting there going,
here we go again.
Here we go again with this dude, man.
Come on, man.
What the hell is wrong with you now?
Come on.
And as he was moving gingerly, I didn't know if it was his back or his foot or ankle or what. And then once he starts squatting down, I'm like, okay, it's his back. So that means that he's got some spasms or he's got some discomfort back there. And they'll figure out what to do with him. He won't play the rest of the day. Now, obviously, if he doesn't play, it's going to be harder for us to win this game. There's no question about it on Tuesday night against the Pelicans.
He and Darvin Ham said, no problem. He will play.
No, yeah. Of course. I've had spasms before, and they got some stuff that'll get rid of the spasms real quick.
All right. So AD said after the game, and he did a long interview, and usually if you're hurt, you don't even stay for the media. But he stayed, and he seemed in a pretty good mood. And yet he said that Larry Nance Jr., former teammate, or wait, did he cross Larry Nance's? I didn't even look this up. Did they cross paths? He's a former Laker, obviously, but maybe he was gone. He was gone before.
He was gone.
Okay.
JaVale McGee.
That's right.
JaVale and Dwight Howard was his backups.
Okay, so here's the point. AD said it was a dangerous play for him to give him a little shove in the back.
When you're in the air like that, Skip, no one should touch you.
Okay. And yet he said Larry Nance Jr. is not a dirty player in his view. So it was a dangerous play by a non-dirty player.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not the biggest deal if we could see that one.
Well, it is a big deal, Skip, because I'm in the air. And when you touch me and I'm in the air, you then change the way that I'm jumping. You just a little bit of a push in the back makes me go in a different direction than what I want to. And he came down kind of
I can't get all worked up about it. That's just me. But I grew up through the 70s and 80s basketball.
You can't do it, though, Skip. When you're in the air, you can't touch it.
So he said, AD said, I hyperextended, which he did a bit, where you blow back, you go backwards, right? And for whatever reason, his back started to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's got a little spasm. He's had trouble with his hip, too. So I don't know if it was a hip spasm or a flat-out back spasm. But whatever, they described it as a back spasm. But they also described it as no big deal. So I'm going to trust that it's no big deal.
It doesn't seem like it's a big deal.
All right.
Like I said, there's things that'll get rid of that real fast.
All right. I want to I want to deal with this. I want to get it out in the middle of the table right here, right now, because this is a big deal to me. LeBron did say he feels better than he did this point last year. We got it. But I want to point out, for any player who played 70 or more games this year, LeBron James actually averaged the most per game minutes of any of those players who played 70 plus games.
Okay.
He's at 35.6 minutes. Okay. So the point is he played 41 the other night at Memphis because they felt like they needed to win, which they did, or they were going to fall back 9 or 10, you know, maybe even to 10. And okay, I got it. He closed strong against Memphis, but they're playing nobody. They got no starters left out there. They're guys that we'd never basically heard of, right? And yet he had to come back off 41 minutes and play 38 yesterday at...
Well, he didn't have to play. I don't... Yeah, we
agree. Pelicans.
We were up by 20 in the fourth quarter.
Right, but he just plays. Okay, is this a good news or bad news for the Lakers that in... Wait a second. At age 39 in year 21, he averaged, for those who played 70 more games, the most minutes in the end. Are you kidding me?
But he can handle it, though, Skip.
This well, is can
thing,
he?
Yes, this is the thing that I'm talking about. It's almost like people want to see LeBron James and the Lakers fail. He can handle it. He wouldn't be on the court if he couldn't handle it.
Okay, but last year he couldn't handle it.
And he said that he's in better, not better shape, but he feels better this year than he did last year. So let's take that and go, okay, so clearly something was wrong with him, whether it was his foot, his ankle, his hip, whatever it was a year ago, is much better now.
But I kept hearing he ran out of gas against Denver in the fourth quarter last year.
Of course he did.
Okay, well, is he going to run out of gas this year?
No, he won't run out of gas. No,
whoever they, if they get past Denver and get to the conference finals, is he going to run out of gas?
No,
against
he won't.
Whoever that might be.
No, you want him to run out of gas.
I don't.
You can say, oh, no, here he is again. $2 million spent on his body.
I actually picked him to win, but I had, silly me, I had it in my view that they would actually manage his minutes and get him fresh
for
the postseason.
It's hard to manage minutes with great players that want to play. It's just hard. No matter what sport it is, you try to pull back and they continue to keep going. He obviously can handle it, though, Skip.
Okay, can he? Because then the excuse of ran out of gas is off the table now, right? Is that fair? Can we throw it out?
Well, I got to see what he looks like.
Well, you saw yesterday what he looks like.
No, I'm talking about in the Western Conference Final. I need to see what he looks like in the Western
Conference
Final.
You're saying this is good, though, that he played all these
minutes. It's good as of right now.
Okay.
It's good as of right now. Doesn't mean that he won't exert so much energy in this next three rounds that when he gets to the Western Conference Final, then all of a sudden he just fatigued. Doesn't mean that. Okay. But as of right now,
would you
he's
feel
fine.
Better if he had averaged 30 minutes instead of 36 minutes?
No,
again?
Because he could get fatigued in the Western Conference Final if they
off
make it 30
again. 30 minutes?
He could still get fatigued, though. Skip, it doesn't matter because he's only playing 30 minutes a game average. But when you get to a playoff and you play in 6 and 7 games, and that energy level, it's a lot of fatigue. It is. Your mentals, that's fatigue, man. That wears on you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, just because he's playing 30 minutes, that he's going to be as fresh as ever. That's not what it means.
So you're holding on to the excuse in your back pocket just in case he
flames
out.
There is no excuse. We need to see him play before we could just say 39 minutes is going to allow, what do you say, 35 a game? You said
it's average. Almost 36.
Yeah, 36. Let's call it 36 minutes a game is going to be an excuse at the end if in fact they get to the Western Conference Final. What if, as you like to say, knock on wood, that the Lakers lose to Denver and he legs doesn't look the same way they looked all year long? We're going to say, well, we played him too much?
In the first round, you're talking
about. Yeah, in the first round. Are we going to say that? Or are we going to say, going to Denver, in that altitude, playing and hustling and running up and down the court, that he is just tired and fatigued because now he's playing 39 minutes up in Denver, or 40 minutes up in Denver, or 41 minutes up in Denver?
I'm done with the excuse.
I've seen enough.
He should be just fine from here on. There should be no question of fatigue.
It feels that way based on what he said in his post-game presser. It feels that he should be okay, Skip. There's no question about it. But there is something called let's watch the games and see what happens. We got to watch the game.
Yeah, but it's up to you to tell me what's going to happen.
No, it's not up to me because I don't know. I'm not in his body.
Well, I do
know. As of right now, he's fine.
Okay, I know what I know. There's no tired excuse left. You're done. You showed us. You did that.
So you telling me
you played more minutes than anybody who played 70 plus games.
Well, you can tell me with your perfect eyesight that what you watched in the Western Conference Final last year, he did not look fatigued and tired.
No. He just looked like he was losing it. He looked like he often does trying to close games against good teams. He shot 7 of 23 because he just wasn't very good against Denver. He shot 1 of 10 from 3 because he just wasn't very good against Denver.
You know you need your legs to shoot.
No, come on, stop it.
He's the greatest player ever on dribble drives to go past people. You need your legs. You need your energy.
Oh, come on.
When they sag it off on you because they feel like you with them and you have no legs, you're going to miss shots, Skip.
Yeah.
When you come up on me and I cannot go past you and I'm bigger and stronger than you because I'm fatigued and my legs are shot.
He's LeBron bleeping James. There's no fatigue level. Come on.
Oh, my God. Man.
Well, it's just ridiculous.
How?
Can't believe you're even trying to make the excuse for him.
No, I'm not making
out? Are you kidding me?
You going to sit here and tell me in game seven, I mean, in the Western Conference Finals, in those four games, 2 in altitude, 2 in L.A., that you could not tell that he was wore down.
No, I could. He looked like he was just gagging to me and not from altitude, just from I'm choking, man. I'm choking. He had missed 19 straight fourth quarter 3-point shots. That's the all-time playoff record for consecutive misses.
But you just said fourth quarter. The fourth quarter is the end of the game, Skip.
Yeah. Okay.
That means that you had to play 3 quarters and run up and down the court to get to the fourth quarter. Okay. You're going to be tired, dog.
Okay, are you telling me he smokes too many cigars and sips too much wine? I don't know. I don't get it. Because I thought he was the best conditioned athlete we've ever seen.
Best conditioned athletes do get tired.
Yeah, okay.
They do.
And by the way, I thought of you on Friday night. I started to text you, and I thought, now I'll just save it for the air. At the end of the game, he took over the game. He looked fresh to me in the fourth quarter against the G League Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
But it's at Memphis, and he closed with a big steal and a breakaway dunk. And can we see this dunk? This is the big
steal. Yeah, the steal. The breakaway dunk. He did like a reverse dunk or something.
I got this.
Yeah.
He anticipated. Whoa! That looked like a, dare I say, a contest dunk. He goes over and tells Ja all about it. I got this. I'm backpedaling because I got
did
it.
Did you really?
I just won the dunk contest. So, wait a second. He never did a dunk contest. And all
Skip,
I hear is
he jumped 2 feet off the floor, he's not even in the air.
He's a power dunker.
He's not a power dunker.
He's not a contest dunker.
Do you honestly think that dunk would get a good score?
Yeah, I do. If LeBron pulled
man,
it off.
Stop. Hey, Ben Bradley got off the floor.
Hey, if he had been 22 years old and done a dunk contest, he would have won it hands down. But apparently, he was afraid to do a dunk contest. First superstar ever.
What did this man do to you?
First superstar ever.
What did this man do to you?
No, that's not. It's not. Did he? Wasn't he? Help me out. Was he not the first superstar ever to say, I'm not doing the dunk contest?
Regardless, what does that have to do with him playing basketball?
It has a lot to do because he showed you right there, I could do the dunk contest.
You
right?
think that dunk is going to get a score?
Heck yes. From
that? My God.
Yeah, way to go.
That was a normal dunk.
This up and under.
It's a normal dunk.
Ooh.
He didn't even, there's nothing special about that
down.
Dunk.
That
he got off the floor this high.
That would have been a 10.
He went to talk to Ja because Ja was there.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's too
late. I got you again, but I'm sorry.
I can't, man.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, let's get back to the NBA and let's talk East. which is certainly not least, especially because it has the team with by far the NBA's best record. The Celtics, 7 games better than the Thunder, who, of course, finished first in the West, and 14 games better than the Knicks, who climbed above the Bucks into the 2 seed in the East. So, Rick, are the Celtics now a lock to win the East and then to win it all?
No.
No. Thank you.
No. No.
I'm not shocked. I'm just looking. I'm looking because, you know, I'm just looking. Yeah.
No. And I just can't. I should say that they are a lock to win the East because they're just miles ahead of everybody.
Miles ahead. Ridiculous.
But it comes back to the same thing that knocked them out last year that remains the question that has to be answered, which is, who is their leader? Who is their go-to guy? Who is the guy who brings it home when everything kind of comes apart? And I think actually the great relatively easy run that they've had this year may work against them, because we just talked about it, about these teams that have to go through trials and tribulations and found themselves,
yes,
and found a confidence in we can do this. They are still trying to answer what they weren't able to get done the last couple of years. They fell apart against Golden State. They fell apart against Miami. Like, where is that ability to get through when it gets tough and you find an opponent that says, you're going to have to beat us. We're not going to lose this game. You are going to have to beat us. And it all comes down, and I hate to put it on one guy's shoulders, but Jason Tatum is their go-to guy. Jason Tatum is the guy that's supposed to lead them.
Yep.
And I just have not seen it. I've consistently seen it the other way. And until I see it, I don't know that they have that on the roster. Jaylen Brown wants to be that guy.
He does.
But doesn't quite have the game to be that guy.
Yep.
And they're always going to look to Jason first. And there's something, and Keyshawn, maybe you can speak to this. There's something about when you look to the guy who's supposed to be your best player, and he spits the bit, or he, like, I don't have it. I need somebody else. What that does to the rest of the team, because they're like, oh, wait a minute. Our guy ain't ready to stand up and deliver. Who's coming in and doing it now? And in crucial situations in NBA games in the last second, you don't have time to kind of figure it out on the fly to say who's going to step in and get this done. And that is at the heart of why the Boston Celtics have fallen short the last couple of years and why I still think they're capable of doing so this year.
See, I get what you're saying, Rick. I don't have them as clear-cut favorites coming out of the East simply because all of a sudden the 76ers has emerged with Joel Embiid if he can stay healthy. If he can just stay healthy, get into shape, now all of a sudden they went from the bottom of the cellar to the third best odds. That says something. Now, you say, well, Milwaukee's still there but we don't know what the Giannis situation is, and they're still trying to find themselves. But speaking to the Boston Celtics of the past, this is a different team this year. Jrue Holiday, Porzingis, those guys weren't there when they failed in the past. So it's a little bit different. Now, Jason Tatum, yes, you're right. When you have your spoken leader and your spoken leader's not necessarily playing at the highest level for you, you tend to look and try to figure out, okay, who's the next guy?
Yeah.
If Jaylen Brown's the next guy, but he's not giving you what Tatum's supposed to give you, now you're going to the third guy. Now, who's your third guy? Mm-hmm. Now it's Porzingis. It's like, well, we're not going to get anything out of that. And Jrue Holiday, he's not known as a scorer. He's just kind of like a two-way guy at a certain level, but not a high two-way level guy on the offensive end. But certainly on the defensive side, he can slow some things down. So you start looking for answers and searching. Now you say, okay, what about Mazzulla as a coach? He's now there. From beginning to the end, he wasn't shoehorned into the position like he was a year ago. What I don't like about them, and I said this to Paul Pierce when he was sitting there the other day, you started the starters against Atlanta, and they gave up whatever it was. They had a 30-point lead and then lost or whatever. But then the other day, you got blew out the building against, I don't know, who did it?
Milwaukee.
Was it Milwaukee? Mm-hmm. And you started the starters.
He
but
did.
You're going to tell me, They just like,
Mazzulla said after the game, it's better to go in the playoffs with a bloody lip.
Yeah, it was it was the Bucks and the Knicks that you started these guys.
Yep.
You put them on the court, and you gave them 30-plus minutes.
Yeah.
You didn't give them, you didn't stagger them to keep them in shape. You literally put them out on the court to win the damn game. You ain't going to fool me. Mm-hmm. But then when you go on 1-for-7 and you just, they not knocking shots down.
Yeah.
You sit there and you go, okay,
it's an alibi. But isn't that leadership?
But that's part of leadership, because even if I'm playing in a meaningless called game and I'm on the floor, we can get up by 20, then we can coast the league. Take us out. Take us out in the third quarter. Take us out at halftime. But when you start me, and you started all five, not one, not two, all five of your starters started, and then you go out there and you display that, it makes me question, where's the leadership? Okay, because certainly teams that I've known to go on and win championships, they were not going to allow that to happen. Golden State wouldn't allow that to happen.
Yep.
You know, the Lakers wouldn't allow that to happen when they was winning championships. So that's how I look at it.
I'm with Rick on this. Even though I'm at cross purposes, I picked the Celtics because I do believe in the overall team, and I especially believe in Drew Holiday. I'm his biggest fan, and he is guts and glue, especially this time of year.
Yep.
He is leadership on and off the floor that they have not had. But listen, I really like Jason Tatum as a guy, because every interview he sort of he warms my heart a little bit more and a little bit more, because he's a really good young man. Now, this is 8 years in, so he's not a baby anymore. But I don't know about basketball killer in him. I'm not sure about it. The other guy, Jaylen Brown, I'm sure about basketball killer in him. I'm sure about competitive fire. I'm sure about big game, bring it.
Yep.
But he does not have the talent the other guy has. So it limits his impact in some ways. But one or the other has to take over the game when it matters in these big playoff moments against a Miami or in the finals against Golden State, and neither could.
Yep.
So now they add Porzingis, to your point. He's scoring 20 a game. Well, that should make you a little bit better. That's why they're number one in offense in the NBA, and they're number three in defense. Well, that should be a formula for championship, right? That's what that says. But the other thing that troubles me is they're the all-time live and die by the three-point shot. And I don't like it for a really good basketball team to shoot by far the most threes, take the most threes in the NBA. Now, you're going to make the most because you're taking the most. Yeah. And they do make...
Everybody shoot threes, though.
I know, but this is way over what anybody does, like way more than the Lakers do. They're third from the bottom.
They shouldn't shoot any at all.
What? But, you know, it's funny you say that. And then I look at the final analysis with the Lakers. I know we're digressing here, but real quick, LeBron's over 40%. That's great. And look at all the rest of them. They got D'Lo's over 40%. Rui's over 40%. Taurean Prince is over 40%. Dinwiddie is 39%. They make a lot of threes. They just don't take a lot of threes.
Yeah. Well, okay? And it's how do you get those threes?
Yeah.
This is the problem that I have with Boston and taking the threes. That's their answer to all their problems. Hmm. Oh, we're not scoring.
Oh.
Let's jack up. Eventually, we'll get hot from three, right? And it's a matter of, and one of the things I love about the Lakers is that they're going to attack.
They just attack the rim.
And
that's
then
what they
they're
going
to kick it out for three.
That is correct.
Right? But
that
they're going to bully you.
They are. Bread and butter is they attack you.
And that's, again, going back to our previous conversation, I've seen more of Jokic do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to bully you, which opens things up for everybody else. Boston doesn't have that. Like, I wouldn't put Bully and Jason Tatum in the same sentence ever. For one of your reasons, he's a great guy and a great two-way player, as good a two-way player as there in the league. But when we get to the playoffs, there are just so many games that come down to a last possession where you say to your best player,
go get it for us.
Go
get that.
Yeah.
And they're always going to go to Jason first. And sometimes he does it, and sometimes he doesn't. I can't have that level of inconsistency if I'm going to win the championship. I mean, for where we're putting the ball. Right.
So who's your biggest threat to Boston?
Man, there's I mean, almost anybody because of that vulnerability. But Jalen Brunson, I trust more at the end of a game. Damian Lillard, I trust more at the end of a game. Now, do they have the requisite talent to be able to knock them off? Boston should win the East. They should come out of the East. They just have too much talent.
They should have came out of it last year, but they didn't.
Understood, which is why, Miami's still in. They're still in the mix.
Yep.
They're vulnerable to everybody because their inability to win tight games and have that guy that they go to. And then after that, which is why I don't have them winning it, because I can see a number of teams in the West that are capable of beating them because they have guys that you can count on when you need to win a game.
Okay. I'm with Keyshawn. I'm a big Embiid fan to start with, but I like the makeup of their team. If you can tell me he's got his legs up underneath him, and I'm never sure of that.
He was exhausted shooting free throws.
He was.
The other
it looked
day.
Like it.
I'm glad he's back. He is a difference maker for them. But the idea that he's going to go from missing, almost 2 months to he gets a half a dozen games, and now we got to ramp it up and play at playoff level intensity, and he's not going to be exhausted. And let's face it, when he gets exhausted, he's not the same player.
When he stepped back on the floor for his first game, I was shocked. He played 25 minutes and he looked pretty good. And then it started to get to him and it started to wear him out a little bit because he doesn't stay in great shape to start with. So you got to deal with that. But I do like their team. Tyrese Maxey he's unbelievably talented and spirited and plays with such energy and joy. And he's just fun to watch. Their team is fun to watch.
Yep.
So they got Miami in a play-in. And again, you get a second chance because you're at the top of the play-in. So do you like Miami to win that game, to just flip the old playoff switch?
I am going to say Miami. I'm going to go with Miami just because I don't know where Embiid is at this point. If I knew what I was going to get out of Embiid, Philly should win that game going away. But Eric Spoelstra might get my coach of the year vote this year. When I look at Tyler Hero misses half the season.
He did.
Nikola Jovic was a starter. Alonzo Heisman. He cobbled together a team that won more games than they did last year.
That's a good point because they lost Strus and Vincent to the Lakers, obviously.
Yep, exactly.
And again, Jimmy Butler's been very quiet, man.
He has.
Is he going to be playoff Jimmy?
Well, this is Jimmy. He saves it for this time of year. He's like, do you want 82 from me or you want 16?
That's what I'm saying about the veteran dudes. They know how to.
They do. They do. Yeah. They do.
Position themselves and coast along.
To a certain point.
I'm going to hang in with the Celtics to win the East.
All right.
And you're going where? Not sure?
No, I would
anybody
say.
Anybody but?
Look, by default, I will say Boston. But if you're saying, am I going to say it with my chest? Am I, confident? No, I'm not at all confident.
Who you got, Keyshawn, as we start? Who you got?
Probably Milwaukee.
Do you?
If.
I think that's a huge if.
Wow.
If Giannis is healthy.
That's a big if.
Because the veteran.
What happened to Philly?
I said they'll be right there. I don't think they,
If I give you those two healthy, Embiid and Giannis, you're still going Milwaukee.
Then I'm going to go Milwaukee, yeah.
Okay. Are you
really? Because, they just got veterans that I like. I like veterans and I like a coach, even though he won a championship years ago and he's a 3-1 killer in terms of 3-1 losses, up 3-1 lose. I get it. Everybody blaming Doc because he's under 500 since he took over as the coach. I get it.
Okay.
Now I understand all that.
Now you have to play in Indiana who beat you 4 out of 5 times.
I get it.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more. Right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Silly me, I actually thought this was the year that the Lakers were committed to managing LeBron's minutes. Instead, are you ready for this? For any player who played at least 70 games, LeBron James at age 39 in year 21 averaged the most minutes per game in the NBA. That's 35.3 per game. That includes 41 Friday night in Memphis and another 38 yesterday in New Orleans. Good Lord. So, Allie, is LeBron playing that many minutes good news or bad news for the Lakers going forward?
Given his health, the way he feels, what he said yesterday after that game in New Orleans, that's a great sign. That's great news. I think, obviously, you just read those numbers, those stats, 35 a game, like I mentioned earlier, 16th most in the NBA. For a guy that's 39 years old and season 21, it's very impressive. It's also the fourth fewest of his career. I thought it was interesting, of course, that we're having this conversation here at the end of the season when going back to that first game in Denver, a lot of talk was about managing his minutes. But I think the body of work this season alone, the way in which LeBron, his right-hand man, who's been with him his entire career, Mike Mancius, has continued around the clock to invest in the body mentally and physically, has put him in the position that he's in now. I loved hearing that he's feeling in a much better space this time around going into the postseason versus that of last year. But I think it is worth noting that LeBron has spent half of his career in the NBA Finals. And having said that, it's not his first rodeo. This is not foreign territory for him. This is not a place he hasn't been before. Yes, down the stretch at times, would you have liked possibly him to not have to give so much, play so many minutes? Case in point, maybe against Memphis the other night, right? On the road. Sure. But it wasn't in the cards. It's par for the course, though, at this point of the season. This is something I've been covering him now for a decade. He ramps up. This is getting himself in the right shape, in the right mental space to handle a game like yesterday that came down to 82, game 82, to be in that position, to come out and fire on all cylinders, be as connected, in tune with his body. It has been impressive. There's no concern for me when it comes to LeBron James, which, hey, again, season 21 at the age of 39, kudos to him.
See, I think that's one of the main problems, Ali, is that season 21, age 39. That's where the focus is. Not the focus on the fact that the man said he feels better than he's felt in quite some time. That's not the focus. The focus is his age and his years, because we've never seen somebody do this, right? And so now when you look at LeBron James, much like you said, veteran players, they know how to go through a course of a season, whether it's 35 minutes or not. Is it on both ends of the floor? Is he really playing 35? Like last night, he had to guard and shut down Zion. Now, that wasn't the entire game, but it was enough energy given to Zion as part of that 35-plus minutes that he played.
I agree.
That wasn't the course of the 82 or the 71 games he played in.
Right.
There's no way. Even the youngest players in the NBA know how to gauge their minutes and how to play on both ends of the floor. So I look to LeBron, I say, now that we're going into play-in, playoff territory, that what you saw last night, you're going to see again tomorrow night, and then you're going to see it against the Nuggets, where in the past that wasn't the case. But he knows now the importance of this is it. This is the final. Like you said, I know how to ramp up when I need to ramp up, regardless to what the minutes look like. That's why he feels the way he feels. I'm 100% all with it. He could have played 40 minutes on an average every single night. I would say the same thing, because he says I'm okay. He didn't give you the, well, I'm real tired. My feet are hurting. I don't know what's wrong with my ankle. No, he said I'm good.
This is a guy that I've kind of thought about this too. There was at one point during those years in Cleveland where I believe he made the comment of, as much as we wake up every morning searching, looking, loving for that glass of coffee, for that cup of coffee, that's him to working out. That's him to fitness. That's him to taking care of his body. This is a guy that's obsessed with the ins and outs and the discipline of being available for his team night in and night out. This isn't a burden for him. This isn't, we need you. This is a get-to mentality from LeBron James, who continues to prove doubters, naysayers wrong, that he can't do this, he can't do that. And I just think, again, 71 games alone, I know we continue to say it, 39, season 21, but that's the reality. It hasn't been done before.
No, it hasn't been done, so we're going to talk about it all the time, but he's doing it right before our eyes.
He is.
So that automatically tells me he's fine. He's fine.
He's fine.
I appreciate that Allie brought up Mike Mancias because we don't enough. But he has been to LeBron what the great Tim Grover was to Michael Jordan. And by the way, Mike Mancias is a protege of Tim Grover. So he has training genius about him. And LeBron completely, obviously, trusts him. And he has turned LeBron this year into 39 going on 29. Because when I watch him, he looks like he's 29. His body looks like it's 29. The spring in his step. I know he can't get up quite the way he used to get up. But hey, Keyshawn, on a nightly basis, his basket attacks are just breathtaking, where there's nobody who can keep him from the rim. He can play bully ball with the best of them at the biggest moments when he so chooses. So does he have to pick his spots on defense? Sure he does. But I'm good with this. The point is, players play. When you're a player, you just want to play basketball. And I think he had a blast on Friday night in Memphis.
Yep.
And I can say, yeah, but that wasn't real smart because you could have cut that back a little. That was a G League team. They had nobody left out there. But he got into it at the end of the game, and he took the game over in the last, I don't know, two, 3 minutes.
But if we don't beat Memphis,
it was a big win. It was a big win.
Yeah, then all of a sudden we're sitting where at the 10th seed?
You could be. Yeah. You could be playing
Sacramento. We would rather be at 8 than 10.
Yeah, no, I got it. And it did turn out to be because I wasn't sure they could go win at New Orleans because New Orleans had just won at Golden State the other night. Okay, so he did that. But you know how I felt about Jordan? I keep telling you, 9 times he played all 82 games, and nobody ever talked about it. And again,
because that wasn't the conversation back then.
Nobody had that conversation.
Yeah, it wasn't the conversation.
There was a 10th time that he played 81 games, and there was an 11th time that he played 80 games.
Austin Reeves played all 82 this year, too. I didn't realize that.
83.
Oh, 83. Oh. Yeah, if you count the play-in, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not the play-in.
The in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
He played 83. Nobody mentioned it.
Okay, but he's still a baby in NBA.
No, I understand. I understand.
We mentioned it.
Huh?
We mentioned it that he played all 83 on our show yesterday. That, you know, that spectrum that you got. Having said that, the 83 games played by Austin Reeves, just to kind of think about how different it has become, we had this graphic that we looked at. He's the first Laker to do it since KCP in 2018-19. Derek Fisher was on our set yesterday, and he was a part of 5 guys that did it back in 2010, 2011.
There you go, right?
It's just a different.
Okay. So remember, a year ago, LeBron had some kind of foot tendon injury that was plaguing him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure that went away. I'm pretty sure that's not a problem. The ankles are chronic, and they're always going to be some kind of problem. You don't want it to turn badly in a game and become an issue again. But it seems like he's managed his ankles to where they're kind of at a low roar right now, where they're not a nightly issue for him, the way, because he missed some games with ankles, right? Because I think he's always going to have some ankle.
But even when you count the 71 games and then the games that he's missed, some of that is rest.
Yep.
Some of it is just is rest.
I think it goes back to that formula, the game plan at the start of the season where they started out wanting to manage the minutes. Obviously, that went out the window. But this is something, again, as we've talked about, he's been with his guy, Mike Mancias, for a very long time. You sit down, you kind of survey the schedule, whatever that looks like, and find ways in which you can. You can take those opportunities to whether you push forward or you take a step back. It's not always something that he wants to do, per se, right? But looking at this season in totality, they've handled it to this point exceptional.
Okay. Now, what is your level of concern about tomorrow night? Just rinse and repeat. Again, it was a wipeout. Does that concern you at all?
I think you're going to get a completely different approach from the New Orleans Pelicans. Down the stretch, they had been playing much better basketball.
They have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Defensively top 10. The way in which they've shot the ball. CJ McCollum has just been so vintage-esque, if you will. Zion has had his way. Trey Murphy III, obviously, has made an imprint. You got to factor in Brandon Ingram coming back for the first time yesterday on a minutes restriction, but you know what he's capable of.
Well, he shot the ball okay. He was 6 out of 9, but right. It seemed out
but
of rhythm.
Rotations, you know, and rhythm, right, et cetera. Yeah. It took Willie Green 3 minutes in the postgame to say everything he needed to say. They came out, they punched us in the mouth. They were the aggressors. That has to change. And I expect that to be the case tomorrow. Mm. Am I confident the Lakers can get the job done?
Yes, you are.
Absolutely. Yes, I am. But I think it's going to be a different game.
Yeah. Is Keyshawn overconfident the Lakers can get it done? Yes, he
no,
is
I'm
overconfident.
Not.
Yes.
Dude, I have LeBron on my team.
Yeah, I just
got to have in your pocket.
I told you before, this will feel like a Lakers home game because somehow the Lakers fans in New Orleans just take the arena over. But
Lakers fans travel everywhere.
They do. But this will be big.
It's
going to be purple and gold. But I think you are a little overconfident because I think this is going to be a battle.
When was the last time you seen a LeBron James team? Now, don't count the Western Conference Finals. But when was the last time you seen LeBron James team just like we in this position in a one and done and we going home?
That was the last time the Western Conference Finals.
They got swept. I mean, certain championship players, and I'll tell you this over and over, Skip, they're not going to let it happen. Mm-mm. Now they may get to Denver and get shellacked again, but I doubt that they get sent home in the play-in. I doubt it.
You know that you do have in your back pocket
the
a second
game.
Chance.
Yeah,
if you need it.
Yeah, we don't want that.
It would be here against the winner of Golden State Sacramento. I assume it'd be Golden State.
Yeah,
that's what
that.
I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, but we don't want that.
Okay, you could draw then Oklahoma City in the first round if you go that route.
Yeah, but that's not the route we're going. Yeah. Why take that chance?
Okay. So you want Denver right here, right now?
Yeah, why take the chance of being the eighth seed?
It would be a chance.
See, OKC, you mess around and you lose to the Pelicans, and then you lose to Golden State. You're going home. You're going to be Cancun or wherever the hell they're going. Cabo.
There's these things called basketball gods that we just don't mess with.
Yeah. I'll play that game.
Hey, thank you for coming in.
Thank you guys.
We'll be watching.
Plus LeBron in the eighth seed, he'd be the first to ever.
No.